I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From Barangaroo Studios, the AusBiz COV is the key stuff you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Hello and welcome to the COB. It is the 24th of November. We are a month away from Christmas. Hard to believe it. I'm Nadine Blaney here with Scuddy. How was the day, Scuddy?
G'day, Nadine. Get the eggnog ready. So Christmas is just around the corner. So it was a bumper day again. Yeah. So fresh 9-month highs again.
And yeah.
Banks leading the charge high
and
again.
It was a particularly strong day, I've got to say, for the banks, especially when you put it on top of the gains that they've seen recently. But, you know, ANZ up by 3.5%. Westpac up by 3%. NAB up by 3%. Talk about a rally in the banks. Talk about a rotation, Scuddy. Is this rotation set to continue? It seems to be the question that we're asking everyone.
Yeah, I would have thought with the banks that a lot of this would be priced in. Like, I've been feeling pretty optimistic about the domestic outlook for a while now. And as many of our guests have pointed out, rightfully so, that banks are really a microcosm of what's going on with the broader economy. So you put what's going on. You put the vaccine news overnight from AstraZeneca, which is, to be honest, a vaccine that I think a lot more people might feel comfortable taking, given it's more traditional in nature. And I'm not surprised you're going to see those cyclical names once again up and about. No, energy stocks as well, huge day. Also travel stocks. Now, there were a few minor exceptions, but no likes of Qantas and others are really having strong performances today. Lots of optimism continuing to go and flow through.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that you're seeing the Webjets of the world, you know, the travel centers of the world, Qantas doing really, really well. But then you don't see some of the infrastructure assets, the ones that many, many advisors have been saying were the real bargains a short time ago, because, of course, we will see international travel rebounding. We will see people hitting the skies once again, inevitably, and they're still in very strong positions and they've got assets backing them. JP Morgan, for one, saying that investors are too optimistic about the pace of recovery at Sydney Airport. Traffic has plunged more than 90%. It is bearish on Sydney Airport and says that lockdown that we've seen in South Australia shows how random outbreaks of the virus are really still a risk to domestic travel. But I feel like I'm being too negative on a day that we have learned that the Queensland border to New South Wales will open. But it's something that I did bring up with Warren Hogan actually earlier today. We saw it reflected in the consumer confidence read from ANZ. Yes, it's a volatile read. It's weekly, of course. But I think when you see consumer confidence pulling back sharply, vision of your current finances, your view on your current finances pulling back sharply because of that lockdown in South Australia, which, if we're realistic, did not impact, you know, that many people across Australia. It just goes to show how vulnerable I think we still do feel, and how fragile this recovery still really is. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from it, but, there's still a lot that we need to get through between now and when that vaccine comes to fruition, when life gets back to normal.
Well, the state premiers have done their darndest to go and instill fear in everyone about what's going on. So I'm not surprised that when you lock down at a whim, that the people start getting a bit concerned. So I think Stephen Marshall, if he had his time again, probably would have gone and done things a little bit different way. But this is the real life consequence. I've talked about this numerous times, and you've had to sit there and listen to me go and talk about it as well. So I won't go on.
But hang on, every word, Scuddy.
No, but this is the real life consequences of these decisions that are made. Like, let's be honest. Like, if you have faith in your trace and track teams, as we've had here in New South Wales and other parts of the country, there is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be opening your borders right now. I cannot understand why the Queensland border's not being opened immediately. The threshold was being met. And I honestly believe it. No, it's almost as if it comes across as like, well, we want more virus cases so we can keep the borders shut. That's the cynic in me saying that's potentially what it could be.
That's pretty cynical. And Gladys Berejiklian, New South Wales Premier, I don't know. We're going to leave that one there. What we do know, though, Scuddy, is that the states are willing to spend big. We had that Victorian budget announced. Huge spending on infrastructure, huge deficit as well. But we had a chat with Martin Crabb, CIO at Shawn Partners, and he was nominating some of the infrastructure leveraged names as potential places that you could invest to win on this thematic. He says, all of these companies are trading on mid to low teen PE ratios, about half of that of the market. And he nominated Downer, Cimit. Actually, I'm not going to give it all away. You can access that interview on our website or via the app. Don't think it made into the newsletter today, but we've got a number of great interviews that you can listen just by clicking on the show notes, one of which was Brickworks. So things going really, really well again here in Australia. Positive in the first quarter, all earnings ahead of the first quarter of FY20, despite those COVID headwinds in North America, which is pretty incredible. Yes, its U.S. business has been impacted, but again, we get further housing data out tonight, Scuddy. And, you know, housing has just been such a strong, I'm sure we're going to be studying it for quite some time, how housing has benefited from this pandemic.
Yes, I think it's made a lot of people have egg on their face. I think myself included. I'll put myself in that list. But I don't blame myself and I don't blame others who I know said that there are obvious downside risks to the property market. And let's be honest, there probably still are. But I think the key difference this time, and the policymakers learnt from what happened back in the GFC, that when a real crisis envelops, you don't muck around. You go and support the economy. You throw money at the economy to go and keep people in work and keep people with income flowing through the economy. And that's the key difference this time. You throw in the fact that we can't go and do everything that we normally do in the past that involves money. I'm not surprised to see those really strong gains out there.
We heard from the RBA Assistant Governor Guy DeBell today, talking more positively about the markets. I shouldn't say the markets, about the economy going forward. But I guess it was a Freudian slip there, because what we continue to learn and continue to know is that central banks around the globe, doesn't matter if there is a wobble out there, isn't there? They'll still throw money at it, won't they, Scuddy?
Got your backs. We've got everyone's backs out there. So, no, particularly the Federal Reserve, we know that the Fed is essentially the world's central bank. So it's the cost of money globally. And we've seen time and again that when equity markets go and stumble, the Fed rides in like a white knight on a horse with sackfuls of cash and then throws it at the market. So one of those things that have been dogging a few people, and you talked about what was going on with some of the REITs today, the infrastructure names at Sydney Airport and the like, which are renowned bond proxies. And one thing that a lot of investors are starting to get concerned about is quite a backup in longer dated bond yields to levels that could potentially go and upend some of those growth names, some of those bond proxies that have done so well in the low interest rate environment. But you just look at the consequences. If the Fed was not to go and act, if other central banks were not to act to go and keep that longer end of the curve at very, very depressed levels, real interest rates at very, very negative levels, the recovery will be sluggish or be non-existent. So there's not going to be any two ways about it. They're not going to go and let yields go and rise by any significant degree.
Nah, it's going to be so interesting. We pretty much have confirmation that Janet Yellen, the ex-Fed Reserve chair, will be the new Treasury Secretary under a Biden administration. It's going to be really interesting to see the play between her and Jerome Powell, who still remains, of course, as U.S. Fed chair.
Cool. And, she was a dove when she was in Powell, the Fed, and that's not really surprising given the circumstances, and was very slow to go and start tightening rates.
But safe set of hands there at the Treasury, you got to say.
Yeah. Look, I think it will be a great appointment. I know it's what markets know. They understand how it's going to work. They probably like the idea that it's going to be very easy when it comes to fiscal policy. When you throw in what the Fed's going to be doing, once the United States gets on top of its horrendous health issues at the moment, there'll be brighter days ahead.
Brighter days that will be brought by a vaccine. Just a side note, I mean, there are so many interesting stories in the market today, but energy was really the standout performer. It was on US markets overnight. And we spoke with Heath Moss from HLM Investments, and he says he wouldn't be surprised to see more upside in December on vaccine news and possibly some more FOMO. And he's looking at oil prices, both from a short-term and long-term perspective. But he gave us a few stock picks to play the energy recovery story longer term. And he named a few companies here in Australia that are at the top of his list. He's a real believer, you got to say, in commodities and the cycle that's to come that we're in right now of recovery. So just a PS to that. You can access that via the show notes. Technology, what?
Was that high octane gains, you said?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
T&E, Technology One. It reported today 13% bump in full-year pre-tax profits. Lots of analysts like this one out there. Let's find out what Mark Moreland from Team Invest and Scott Phillips from The Motley Fool had to say about this one. Here's Scott Phillips to start.
Those businesses that has just had a spectacular track record of continuing to deliver year on year on year, even with the stable ongoing growth. Our business growing, again, 13% announced today. That doesn't justify a P of 42-ish, depending on what numbers you want to use as your base for that calculation. You just can't get close enough to that number for mine. So I couldn't buy it. I wouldn't run it to sell it if I've owned it, particularly because you've probably done really, really well for a long time. So the capital gains alone probably preclude you selling unless it's overweight in your portfolio. But I couldn't buy it today, unfortunately.
It's actually 99.5% stable.
Oh, is that all?
And that's for 20 years.
Ah, oh, that's disappointing.
So now, when we started Team Invest about 11 years ago, T&E became one of our favourite companies because we put a lot of weight on stability and predictability.
Yeah.
It's also extremely low risk. It's been very, very well managed. The founder Adrian DeMarco is still the chairman. Edward Fung's the CEO now. He's been with him for about 10 years prior. And it's just a brilliantly managed business, no debt. Okay. On a margin of safety, it's about 2%.
Okay.
So for me, it's a bit expensive. Yep. I've been a holder of this for, since we started Team Invest.
Yeah.
And I've added whenever there's been good opportunities. And you do get opportunities. Yep. It was down at $4.20 a couple of years ago.
T&E shares finishing the day up 0.3%, underperforming the broader market. But both of those men, the men of the day on the call, thought it was just a bit too X-y.
Yeah, maybe a short in the 5% fund, maybe.
Maybe, no. All right, let's talk about, we already mentioned that the house price data is coming up tonight. Tomorrow here in Australia, we get construction work done, 11:30 for the September quarter. We also get international merchandise trade from the ABS.
Yes.
Nothing much to say on that front. Construction,
gives
us a look in.
Yeah, construction work done, and we give you some clues as to what's going to go and happen when the national accounts are released next Wednesday. So always something you're going to keep an eye on.
You're really excited about the CapEx data coming on Thursday.
Look, I'll share a bit of a secret from my past day. So trading around the CapEx release was one of the easiest trades back during the mining boom to go make money, whether you're trading spot currencies or you're trading rates. Because that figure, no matter what the algos and other people would go and react straight off what the actual figures were for the quarter, the forward looking is what the markets used to go and write them. And I used to just clean up. It was my favorite release every quarter. I wish they did it every month. It was so much fun. But that's why I've got a soft spot for the CapEx survey. Nothing like in particular, but from an analytical perspective, always go and look at what's going on between the split between non-mining and mining investment.
Yeah, and even that non-mining investment piece does miss out big portions of the economy. I don't think healthcare is included in there. So there are, correct me if I'm wrong, you're looking at me very funny.
No, yeah, you're right. No, it only captures about 60% of all business spending. So it's not so a lot of agricultural side of things. Now education, a lot of health. So a lot of those are industries dominated by government as well. So it's not the bee's knees when it comes to everything, but it gives you a good indication one way or another.
Yeah, we all want to know about animal spirits in the business world. We want to know when they're coming back. I mean, that's a very Glenn Stevens term I just threw out there, but been around for a while.
The thing with Australia, though, and this is something that we the animal spirit. Policymakers have tried time and time again to go and do it, but about the only area where animal spirits is ever evident is in the housing market. That's because you've got so many policies, financial taxation policy are all guided to go and direct into the housing market. So potentially that's maybe a clue as to how to go and get animal spirits in other parts. You got to go and do the fine.
Well, now we got to let people access their super to buy their first home as well.
Oh, God.
Okay, we'll leave that there. We've got a great lineup of guests. This is my my television presenter part of the session, but we'll be speaking with Marcus Bogdan, CIO at Blackmore Capital. And I love talking to these guys because they're always so clear about what they've put into their fund, what they've taken out, how the portfolio is weighted, and they're very candid about it all. Love having them on. Todd Warren, he is also another guest. We love all our guests, but I always have a really good chat about commodities with Todd. He's from Tribeca partners, and Charlie Jameson's as well from Jameson Coop Bonds. This is the first time I'm seeing this guest list, so there you go. Excited to talk bonds, everything with Charlie, and you know, the list goes on throughout the day. So it's going to be another good one around here, Scotty. Boy, I wonder what this overseas session will bring us.
Probably more gains if the November has been anything to go by. Another day of green on screen, and probably SPY futures up 0.5% when we walk in tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. Look forward to tomorrow. See you then, Scotty.
We'll see you for hump day.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.